Hello, everybody. This is Bill Bauman, and I am hoping you are having a marvelous Thursday. You know, I was just sitting here kind of looking over some of the names on the list in front of me. I've got this cute little thing that they call a control panel, and, you know, being a control freak as I am, this just makes my day. And I don't have any list, of course, of anybody who's on the web. So hi, everybody on the web. Hi, everybody on the phone. Hi, everybody who's tuning in later. I was looking at this list of names, and it was just kind of swirling in my consciousness and in my heart. What beautiful, beautiful people, beings, persons you are, and what a joy it is for me, and I know I speak for Donna too, for me just to be in your life and just to be connected to you. I think every now and then, what a marvelous way to go through life, just to have the kind of connections, the kind of bonds, the kinds of oneness that at least I'm blessed with, and you are just such an intimate part of that blessing. So I just want to turn that around a little bit. This just occurred to me just as I was tuning us in here, and invite each and every one of us to really joyously enjoy, especially for this hour, just enjoy the beauty of and the glorious gift of who we are to each other. Like, wow, think of that. We've got like a whole hour just to bathe in the enormous love and the beautiful light and the exquisite blessing that's here just because you are and just because you're here and a part of this. And so I thank you, and we all thank you so much for being you and for really being here. So hey, welcome. Welcome to our April get-together. I've come to call this the monthly teletalk or telechat or telesatsang or teleblessing, whatever it is. Anyway, it's a tele for sure. And on behalf of Donna, on behalf of me, welcome, welcome, welcome to our hearts. Welcome to our souls. Welcome to this special, special hour of blessing. So I thought, you know, what would be the perfect introduction for this? So I want to welcome you to April, to the month of April Fools, to the month of income tax, to the month of Easter, Passover, Earth Day, and Thomas Jefferson's birthday, of course. And not to leave anybody out, this happens to be the month where we celebrate Administrative Professionals Day. And I know you're hearing that and you're thinking, Bill, how brilliant of you. How did you know all that? No, I had to look it up. So speaking of April Fool's Day, did you know, this just got announced today, as a matter of fact, that David Letterman is retiring next year in 2015 for his late night show host position. And they have announced that Stephen Colbert is going to take his place. So now, I introduced this by saying, speaking of April Fools, now that what I just said, those two things, David Letterman's retirement, Stephen Colbert's taking his place, those are not April Fool's jokes, no. Now I'm going to tell you one more thing, and then you decide for yourself whether that's an April Fool's joke or whether it's literally true, just like the first two. So the other part is, David Letterman called me personally and said he really wanted me to replace him, but CBS forced him to choose Colbert. So, again, you choose. Anyway, that said, ultimate thank you to Donna for the remarkable photos which she showed me last night that are on the web. They're not on the phone. So if you're on your phone, you're looking at the receiver that you're holding in your hand looking for those photos. I'm sorry you're not going to find them. But if you're on the web, she has a number of beautiful photos. She has photos of her art pieces with a special sort of cosmic background behind each one. I was just blown away by all of those. And speaking of the wonderful Donna, my beautiful life mate, Donna, would you like to say hi to us?
I would. Hello, everyone. And I won't stay with April Fool, but I will wish you a happy Easter. And if you got our newsletter today, you find out that Bill and I have bought a home and have moved. We're still in Las Vegas, but we're in a gorgeous, gorgeous part of Vegas. And the Easter bunnies, because it's on a golf course, the Easter bunnies are hopping all over. So all day long we get to see Easter bunnies and little bunnies and big bunnies. And with that, I will wish you a happy April, a happy Easter coming up, and I'll hand it back to Bill.
That was so cool, Donna. Thank you. And you know what else? When those Easter bunnies hop across the fairway to go to the other side, they're called Passover bunnies. Did you know that?
Oh, dear.
Yes, I know. Everybody's laughing. It's the best joke ever. I would love to, in just a second, invite all of us to say hi to each other, embrace each other, however we feel like it, and just let you know I love you. And so I am going to unmute all of us, and we can all just say hi for about 5 seconds. So hello, everybody.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Bill.
Hi,
Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi,
Oh, my. Thank you. Those were just everybody on the phone, and so all of you on the web. I could hear you. I'm not sure how I could hear you, but I think it's the spirit of David Letterman just coming over me. So anyway, thank you. What a beautiful, beautiful, not just greeting, but a beautiful embrace, and I feel totally held by all of you. So let's, as we join together this evening, and I feel like there are probably a number of people here maybe for the first time, so I want to just say a little something, but this is a really special, special time. It's not especially a time of teaching or of great theory. It's a time of sacred gathering. It's a time of blessing, frankly. It's a time where we just sit in the embrace of grace, and we just let grace, just let infinite love, just let divine stirring and moving and intervention and transformation and whatever is the gift that any one of us would need, we just let that happen, and we do it by dangling some words around and playing in a particular focus, and I'll share with you in a bit what our focus is this evening. But all of that is just the setting of the stage, if you will, for something that is so precious and so treasured, precious to me, treasured by me, which is to me the fact that all of creation, and that's especially the human creation, all the realm that we live in, is an expression of the divine. But it's really a place where the divine just keeps splashing itself, keeps inserting itself, keeps stirring us, inspiring us, motivating us, healing us, nurturing us, empowering us, awakening us in ways that are magical, in ways that, yes, are a little bit linear, a little bit cognitively oriented, but way more than that are ways that are filled with beautiful, precious light and just the purest love that could be. And my deepest, deepest sense is that's what this hour is. So thank you for being here. So I sat down a little while ago, and I basically opened to the question, what would our focus tonight be? And one five-letter word just plopped itself in front of me. Well, let me go back and count. Yep, it's five letters. And it's the word being. Being. And then it showed up pretty much in capital letters and almost like bold print just in front of my inner vision. And then as a title, it spread itself out, and it said, being the key to everything. So I just sat with that. And I guess I just beed with that, if you will. And I just sort of let that sink in, being the key to everything. So I'm going to ramble a bit. And again, my words are about being. We're going to be talking about being. But they're really an invitation to be. So just as we start, how about if we all just be and just let ourselves relax, go, just kind of melt into a space of maybe non-doing, a space of non-thinking, a space where even with my words in the background, it's much more that we just absorb the gift of being and whatever being wants to achieve, whatever being is the key to for each of us. So I want to start by, I guess, just summarizing in a sentence or two what one of the people, one of the, I believe, avatars of the centuries that's meant a lot to me, Lao Tzu, had to say about being. Of course, Lao Tzu is the purported author of the Tao Te Ching. And if there is a summary message to that whole writing, the message is something like, if we live in a state of being, then any and every doing simply comes from, emanates out of that. If we put our focus on being, if we ground in being, if we just let ourselves sit in and live in and immerse ourselves in and find our source in being, just being, not doing, not thinking, just being, then out of that amazing source, doing happens. And sometimes it happens just all on its own, all by itself. Sometimes it happens by inspiring us to whatever the doing is or whatever the important thinking is. But his point, I think, is, all we need to do is be. And I know in a lot of Hindu and Buddhist traditions, there are many, many stories about gurus or spiritual leaders who didn't do anything. You know, we're all familiar with the ones who did, you know, like Buddha, for example. He was a be-er, if you will, B-E-E-R, I guess you spell it. And of course, that's what his state of enlightenment was very much about. It was not just about swimming around in the beautiful light field of infinity, but it was also about just being. And so my feel is that Buddha was very grounded in being, but he was a doer. He, out of that state of being, he walked miles upon miles upon miles. I guess over there, maybe they called it kilometers, or maybe they didn't even measure it back in those days. I don't know. And he talked and talked and talked to people. He developed a community and communities, and he was present too, and a true helper and a lover of so many people. So we know him for his doing, but at the core of it is his being. And there's an analogy that I've found myself using a fair amount the last year, maybe year and a half or so. And it's the analogy of a tree. And what I hear myself say sometimes is, you know, a tree, and this is so obvious to all of us, of course, but a tree is as healthy as its root system, the trunk of the tree, the branches of the tree, the limbs, the leaves of the tree, etc. They draw their life from the root system, from the earth. And those roots of the tree are perhaps the most important part of the tree, and yet we can't see them. And they're important because they go down into the earth and they draw from the nutrient field of the earth. They draw from the source of energy, the source of life, if you will, from the earth. Anything and everything that's needed, the nutrients, the earth, air, fire, water, the juice, the fabric of life itself that goes into that tree and makes that tree strong. And so as the tree does, as the tree moves into doing, as it stretches and moves and creates leaves and buds and then with winds it moves and flows in different directions, it can only do all that because it's fed from this amazing source that nobody can see. And so in those old Hindu Buddhist traditions, there are so many of those gurus who just sat in their cave. They didn't do anything. Some of them didn't see anybody. They didn't talk to anybody for years upon years upon decades. They just were. How amazing is that? And what's the value of that, I wonder? I know, when was it? Gee, 15 years ago, Donna and I both had this inspiration at the same time to let go of everything, and I stopped being in service for about 3 years. And the first of those years, we went and lived in France, and then the second two came back to the United States. But nothing in me would let me do anything. In fact, I mainly, I worked out a little bit in the morning, but I spent the rest of the day sitting. just being, sort of in my cave, if you will, doing nothing. And at that time, what I was specializing in, and I didn't really, you know, conceptualize it even until a year into this, is I specialized in being, just being. And I had this maybe a year and a half into that time. I had this insight, and it just came to me. The insight was, wow, you know what? In contrast to all the years of serving and doing and helping and loving and healing and whatever else I was doing, this state of being, just sitting and being, was as big a contribution, made as much of a difference to the whole human scene, to all of creation, to individual people that I otherwise might be talking to, helping, serving, empowering, etc. But I was being of just as much benefit to this creation just by being. And I thought, wow, just by being. And so for me, it was, as I looked at my being, I started thinking, well, what am I doing? I'm, on the one hand, somebody looking at me could say, well, he's just sitting there like a bump on a log. I always thought that was an interesting term, bump on a log. I thought, what? I've never even noticed a bump on a log, and certainly, anyway, never mind. It's, you get the picture. But anyway, so somebody just looking at me could say, well, he's kind of wasting time. And from a doing perspective, I was wasting time. From a being perspective, I noticed I was being the soul of creation. I was being in the center, like, you know, we talk about the eye of the storm, if you will. I was being in the eye of all creation, that very, very special eye. And I think, but I'll come back to that eye in a minute. But again, I don't want to invite us to get too much wrapped up in the concepts. Let me just go back to asking you the question. As you're just being right now, what's that like? What do you know, with your not doing, maybe not even thinking very much, just notice the quality of being. It's really an exceptional, remarkable kind of thing. If we get beyond any judgment that might say, oh, I'm wasting time, or I'm not getting anything done on my to-do list, or whatever. So I want to say this, just as you're being. In our world, which is very much a world of doing and thinking, if you will, in our world of doing where, oh, activity, thought, energy, accomplishment, projects, to-do lists are the norm, it's what grabs our attention, it's sometimes almost heresy to not be busy. I remember in high school I went to a boarding school, and there were, oh, maybe I think about 300 of us every evening in this big room. Each of us had a desk, and it was homework time. And they had one like monitor who was walking up and down the aisles to make sure that we were doing our homework, to make sure that we weren't wasting time. Without my consciously realizing, I think in those years, I really learned strongly that, what's the old saying, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know, that's cool. I have not said that in years. That was, ooh, that felt so good. Ooh! Anyway, so I learned the heresy of not being busy. But just like that tree, just like the tree that needs to have healthy roots, I think Lao Tzu would say something like, let being be your roots. Be your root system. Let being be your foundation. Let being be your ground, your platform, your source, your source of power, if you will. Let a state of being, which is already there, it's there in each of us, just as each of us is the activity of creation, is the thought form of creation, we are equally the source of creation. We are that very essence. We are that state of being. And so there's a state in which each of us lives, I'm going to say, at the center of our being. I don't know if that's true for everybody, but let's just say it's that space or non-space at the very, it's the eye of the storm, that very center of us where nothing's going on. Nothing's happening. it's a place, if you will, of inner silence. Like, can you almost hear the silence? It's a place of like essence, if you will, almost emptiness, quiet, where there's no content. There's no thought, no belief, no story. There's no meaning. There's no direction. There's no feeling. There's nothing but just this non-definable essence where the simplest you just is. I've had the thought that this is maybe the place where we all go just in those few vague seconds before we fall asleep in the evening, if you will, or at night, where we just let go of the day, we let go of all the to-do list, and we let go of the looking back over the day and looking at what we've accomplished, and we just start to settle into sleep. And just in that second or two before, we hit that place of being, where we just are. And we're not about our list. We're not about our person, really. We're not about our identity. We're not about a self-concept. We're not about our status. We're just about, all I am is I just am. I just am, to be or not to be, right there, where we just dangle in that space of pure being with no definition, no description. I just am, just as you and I right now just are. So let's say right now there's nothing else to us except this pure essence, if you will. It's where nothing else exists. Nothing else matters. It's a place that many systems, styles of meditation aim to lead us to, just to that non-place, if you will, where, we just are. You know the title of this talk, if we can call it a talk, this commentary, is Being the Key to Everything. And while we often look at the everything, if we go to just being and just sit in it as we are right now, things start to happen. They happen sometimes in a non-happening way. But it's a very, very powerful place. In fact, I've heard some people, some experts, call it the most powerful, powerful place in all creation. Just like the roots of the tree are the most powerful place in all treedom, if in fact that's ever a word. So are you now hanging out in being? I'll say it this way. Are you grounded in the ground of being that it's just an intimate part of your nature, that ground, that being, that essence, that eye of creation, that center, empty yet profoundly powerful as the space right before the Big Bang of creation, that center place where you just are. Wow. What's that like right now, just to be in this wonderful, wonderful state, source, place, or non-place of being? Just while we're there, I have a sense. It's a sense that that's where we go when we sleep. We sort of go back to the drawing boards of the self. We go back away from complexity into simplicity. We go from noise to silence. We go from the outer rim of the bicycle wheel that we are down into the center core, the center axle of ourself. To me, this is where we go when we're kind of doing our day and we just all of a sudden go numb. We've all had that many times every day, actually. It's like we're busy doing this and saying that. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves just sort of tuned out. Just tuned out. It's almost like built into our human system is something that says, you know, every now and then we just need to go back to the gas tank. Go back to that center space of being where we just are. We need to take a break, if you will. In fact, even quantum physics, modern science, tends to say that at the absolute core of our subcellular being is this very, very space of being and non-being, this space that is like the root system of our whole existence that feeds us from just this place where we so simply just are. So it's a really powerful place. And I'd like to spend maybe the next 10 minutes or so just in a relatively meditative time, just having me do a few words in the background, but just having each of us be. And then, if anything, if there's any doing to it, just be the observer, be the witness, be the noticer of being. And let's just say that we, just to relieve all even vague possibility of guilt, that we all give ourselves perfect permission just to be, just to not be in a process, not be in a system, not be in a mindset, not be in an orientation, not be in a direction or a focus. We're just being. And I feel like when we just be, and then especially when we just consciously be, when we let ourselves be aware of what we usually don't let ourselves be aware of, when we let ourselves be aware of, oh, I just am right now. Nothing else matters. I just am. And you start noticing. You start just paying attention to the very vague, very subtle, so subtle that they're almost not seeable, not feelable, not noticeable cues. When you just start noticing those ultra subtle, quiet, faint whispers of that silent space of being, you start noticing some things, and I'd like to just let my voice be an expression of some of the things that we might notice, not to influence in any way what you notice. And so, as always, please feel free to just tune me out if you prefer, or if your own being just makes that happen automatically. Here we are, being. We've just entered a sacred zone, what in the Hebrew tradition might be called the Holy of Holies, if you will. And what in non-traditions could just be called that pure, crystal clear, emptied out, non-content space where only the essence of everything can be. And in order to enter this sacred space, everything that has to do with doing, thinking, knowing, activity, etc., has to morph, has to shift, has to just let go, and has to, just like ice will let go and become water, and water will let go and become steam. So all that doing, all that thinking just lets go, and it morphs into being. Because in this sacred space, in this Holy of Holies, only being is allowed. And the reason only being is allowed is that it's the root system of each of us, the root system of all existence and creation. It's the source. It's the source, and a source gives itself out to become and to express as creation. But the source remains the source. You are as much source as you are creation, as much essence, isness, as you are expression. as much being as you are doing. What a beautifully sacred you are. What a remarkably, noticeably pure, gorgeous you are. It could be that one of the reasons we all love babies as much as we do is that they've not taken on a whole range of personality dynamics yet. They've not fully entered the world of duality and pull and tug yet. They're still very much beings of light, and they're still very much beings. They just are. And we look at those little babies, and we say, oh, how beautiful and what a miracle, and all the other oohs and ahs that we express, we look and we say, oh, this baby is just still connected to, still living in the aura of its being. How absolutely gorgeous that is. How addictive it is to any of us to just get magnetically drawn to that state of being in that baby. And yet, the baby that we were, however many years ago, still lives in that center, is still present in our being. So we're there. We're just the pure, uncluttered, simple, silent, indefinable self. And that's complete. That's whole. In and of itself, it needs nothing. We need nothing. We're literally perfect in our sourceful state of being. We're totally, totally at peace. There's nothing to change. There's nothing to do. And how powerful it might be when we're in the middle of our own drama, when we're caught in the pull and the tug of our own issues, when we're feeling beset by the perils of life or whatever, how wondrous it might be to just take a break and be, which we do anyway, but to do that consciously, like right now. Like right now, as we're here, that being can take any issue and can, without activity, without doing, without thinking, without conceptualizing, can make a world of difference. I think when I was sitting 15, 14, 13 years ago in that state of being, and that insight came to me, wow, I'm doing as much good, quote unquote, just sitting here as I would be if I were out, you know, tromping around the earth doing things. I think what that was about is this deep realization that, oh my God, I'm sitting in the most powerful place in the whole world, where being in a way that doesn't have to rely on our human style of doing, in a way that doesn't have to rely on our human style of thinking and believing and knowing and interpreting, just by being, things happen. It's what humanly we call magic. It's the magic of creation that just by being, enormous, enormous things happen. I hate to give away any great trade secrets, as though I have any, but with all the helping I do of people, basically I sit in a state of being. And sure, I say things and I do things, and it probably looks like those doings and those insights that I'm expressing are where the magic is, but at least in my experience, those are just icing on the cake. The cake is, the root system is, it's being. It's being that does it. And so as I kind of hung out off and on over the years in the Tao, and just admiring the not just the words and the concepts that Lao Tzu put in that, but as I just played with being and just kind of let being wash through me and me wash through being, and as I gave myself lots of permission to just be and then watch, notice what happened, I noticed, and in fact I'll share with you something that happened. This, I guess this went on for 4 or 5 years. Again, it's another version of being, and I forgot about it till right now. That there would be this dilemma, or I would be trying to help someone, and all of a sudden, I would go blank. I would go numb, and I would go way inside. I would almost go unconscious, and I would go, and I don't know how long I would be there. It could be 10 seconds. Sometimes, if it weren't a public event, it could be a minute. Sometimes it would just be 2 or 3 seconds. And it would be like going to the gas pump. It would be like going to the most powerful source of all creation that's almost beyond creation. And something would just pull me there. This was not a conscious choice. And then I would come out of that, and either right away or quite shortly, I watched something happen that was the perfect response to, the perfect taking care of, the perfect healing energy for whatever that situation happened to be or whatever that person needed. And so after that happened, I don't know, umpteen times, scores of times, hundreds of times, it became really clear to me, oh my gosh, I don't really need to do anything. Now, as a sort of a gift to a humanness that seems to rely on doing, that seems to expect and want doing, that seems to require doing, I do. So I show up and I do, or I look like I do. But in truth, I'm sitting with this person like I'm sitting with you right now, in the middle of the source of all creation, in the middle of the source of you and me and us, in the middle of being itself, being with a capital B. And there's the spirit of being, there's the presence of being that's so hugely powerful, so enormously authoritative, so greatly capable of anything. And when you or I or we simply go to that space, when we let our conscious self just be aware of, I'm being. We're all being. I'm with my friends and we're just being, in addition to whatever the chit-chat is, in addition to whatever the activity or the focus is, we're being, then that being comes alive and it serves that moment. It serves that self. It serves that person. It serves that need. And it does it intangibly, but in a way that shows up tangibly. So many times I've done that, and I've come out and I'm just about to put into words from that state of being to someone what's there, and the person says, no, it's all right, I got it. Well, I don't know how the person got it. Yes, I do. It just showed up, and the person got it, whatever it was. They didn't need me to translate. So how utterly powerful we are. Because we have this great, great power, the power that predates creation, the power that infuses itself into creation, the power that makes itself tangible in and as creation. We have that in our core. We're all touching it. and being touched by it right now. And its magic is doing something incredibly, incredibly beautiful. It's stirring your own magical realm. It's awakening in you whatever is just right to be awakened. It's empowering or bringing to life something in you that it's just time to have as an alive quality of your being. It's healing a deep, deep pain or a leftover something. It's awakening you to, in this moment, this quality, this resource, this core identity that says, I just am, and that's all I need. It is in just a moment, my privilege to invite any of us who feels like we'd like to share anything to do that. You know, my strong sense, as many of you know, is that inspiration happens a lot of ways, and let's assume that maybe the plan was for, in these last moments, that inspiration to come through my words to whatever degree. And now, the privilege we all have is if you feel like sharing something, and again, my request is that nobody ask me a question because we don't want to bring it too much into the mental quality, if you will. But if you want to share anything of yourself or anything you want to share in this regard, please feel free to do that as of now. And let me get technical. If you're on the web, and looking at all those gorgeous photos that Donna has, then you've got that cute little box in front of you that you can type any message in that you would like, and then just push the send button, and then that will come to me, if you will, at some point. And then I'll be glad to read all that. And then if you're on the phone, then all you need to do is, oh dear, press yes, star 2, and that raises your hand. And so we have one hand up from somebody, from an 847 area code, and let me see how I do that. I think I just did it, and you are on the air. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
First of all, great shout out and a big hug to Donna.
Oh, how sweet.
Thank you.
It's J.S., by the way.
Oh, J.S., hello. How sweet.
And I just want to say that April Fool's Day will never be just another day for me. One person very dear to me came into this world on April Fool's Day.
Oh.
And another very dear to me left it on April Fool's Day.
Oh, my goodness.
And I want to thank you, Bill, for teaching me how to love them both.
Oh, oh my.
And the extraordinary peace I feel and the joy and sense of celebration that I knew them both. And they were a part of my life.
Wow.
Very, very sacred.
Yes.
And I know I wouldn't have been able to achieve this state of being without you, so thank you.
Oh, you are so sweet, Jazz. I am so deeply touched by your words, by your tone, and I feel in a way that's not very definable. Just the blessing that sharing is for every one of us. Thank you so much. That was just totally beautiful. And I will mute you again. And then just ask if there's anybody else who would like to express anything. And while I'm waiting for that, I'm going to the web, and we have nothing yet on the web. So if there's anybody else who would like to express anything, then feel free to press star 2 on the phone, or type whatever you would like on the trusty little box there and send it. Okay, it looks like nobody's expressing at this point. And again, I recognize that it's really tough to come from a deep, quiet, meditative state and a state of being and kind of move into, a state of talking. So I will take one more look, give it one more chance. And, we actually have a message. Oh, it's so cute. It says, so beautiful. I felt that deeply. That's very, very precious. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And back looking at the phone, I guess we have no one else there. So, so how about if I, in a way that's not about April Fools, but how about if I, express in some words the voice of being? How if I just become for a few moments that spirit of being, that presence of being, that very essence of all that is? And just put it into words in whatever way it might want to say something to us, and then we'll just each be with this in whatever way we would like. And so if I, Bill, just open to what being itself wants to express, it goes something like this. Ah, what a delightful time it has been to have you not only visiting me, but living in me, occupying my dwelling, coming to that space in the midst of your very own being, which, just like the soul is the embodiment of your spirit, that state of being within you is an embodiment of the core, the center, the essence of all creation, the soul of life, if you will. So thank you for coming back to the soul that we all are, to the essence and isness and simplicity and purity and just the beauty, the utter perfection of where we are. I know that it's often difficult spiritually as much as psychologically even to hear words like everything's perfect and you're perfect, because in a human world of duality and evaluation, that's a stretch. But here where you just are, here where I am the you that you are, and here where I hold that truth, that the pure, simple, essential you just is, and in that you are full and perfect and whole and complete and adorable and precious and unchangeable and not needing to be changed, and therefore perfect, I celebrate you. And so these moments have been so beautiful and so holy of holy-ish for me, the spirit of being, because we get to celebrate that essential beauty, that wondrous, inexplicably delicious you, that without the seeming complexity of judgment is just totally right, just totally wondrous, and so deserving to be celebrated. So I, the spirit of being, the essence of all creation and the very essence of you, have an invitation. Come to me consciously. Come to me consciously every day. Come to me consciously as frequently as you like, whether that's in a time of need or stress, or whether that's in a time of peace or joy. Come to me, because in a non-doing way, it's here that I can really hold you in your truth, the real truth, the pure truth, not the truth of the beliefs that something's wrong with you or the belief that you need to change this or change that, but the truth, just the truth that regardless of, and even in the middle of all of those human attributes of you that can be evaluated in so many ways, that I never evaluate you according to those dynamics, according to those criteria, according to those values. I judge you according to the truth, right here, with me, as me. You truly are perfect, just perfect. Imagine coming to me every day and bit by bit taking up more full-time residence. Imagine living here full-time. And what Bill would tell you about himself is that it's absolutely possible, and he would share how it is with him, to live full-time here, big time here, 24/7 here, in my, your, our, the essence, in being, in that root system, and live equally and strongly and peacefully and groundedly and proactively and creatively and any other way that's important, quote, out there in the world, unquote. Out in the expressive zone of your being, your person, your life, your job, your activity. It's very possible to be here with me full time and be out there full time, just like the tree is out there in the wind, drinking in the sun, giving off its nutrients, doing, being strongly active, and being fully alive under the ground. Be here with me consciously. Consciously, consciously. Give yourself permission, if you feel moved, to specialize in being. Bill took off 3 years. You don't have to do that. He's slow. he needed special attention. He was a special student, but you don't. You're in the accelerated program. And just let yourself be and be and come back and be more and notice. Notice what happens. Not in the doing at this state of essence, but in the effects. Because sure enough, every time you come up from being, come back out into the world, you'll notice something's different, or something happens, or something gets created, or something shifts, and it's just because you decided to be. So in closing, Lao Tzu was right. To be is to do. And to be just results in doing happening. It's an amazing, seeming conundrum-based miracle of life. It's not explainable to a conscious mind, but it works like a charm. So in closing, I, your very essence, your very being, and the very state of being that lives within you, will always, in every second, in every moment, embrace you and welcome you to being any time and all the time that you choose. Thank you so very, very, very much. You know, I was tempted, and I know probably half of you are waiting for me to do it. I was tempted right from the start of this, and I've not done it yet, but I have the strong suspicion I'm about to lose all self-control about it, to do the Frank Sinatra version of to be is to do, which of course is doobie 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 do. I'm so sorry. That was terrible. Anyway, thank you for such an exquisite time together. You know, when I got this inspiration last year to do this, the second Thursday of every month, it was made very clear to me by whatever the source of my inspiration is, whatever we call that, that this was not to be a teaching. I mean, a little teaching here or there, but really, this is about letting the wonder and the power of our very being take over. This is about letting infinity bless the finiteness of us in ways that are just miraculous. It's about letting go and letting the magic of life happen. And that certainly has been the case this evening. I love each of you and all of you, and I so thank you for this time together. I give myself a little permission to be absurd and ridiculous up front, and certainly at the end right here in my Frank Sinatra routine. So thank you for putting up with my absurdity. Donna certainly does that, and how she does it is beyond me. I want to remind us as we're ready to stop that our next gathering, our next time is a month from now. It's on Thursday, May the 8th, so it's toward the beginning of the month. And just like I told us everything that was in April, who knows? I might share with us what's in May. Who knows? And so what I'd like to do in a moment is do my tricky little thing. Hold on just one second. I want to look at something here. You know what? I just went to the web, and we have a few, I was going to say emails, a few messages from those. And the reason I remember to do that is there have been a few times I've finished, and just before I signed off here, I went back there, and I had missed one or two. And so one message just says, gratitude abounds. And another one says, how powerful and blessing-filled to receive these exquisite, grace-filled gifts from Donna's sacred soul. Each artistic, creative expression opened blessings into my awareness. All my gratitude and love, your friend with love. And then a third one says, oh, how sweet, many bright light blessings for Donna and Bill in your new home. And thank you. That is so very, very, very sweet of each and every one of you. And I'll just share a little something that's just fascinating. It's neither here nor there in a sense. But as many of you know, Donna and I have been living in a high-rise condo for the last 4 years, right on or next to the Strip. So we have been truly in the middle of the doing, in the middle of the action, in the middle of the noise. And it's been a precious time for us, because we truly have lived in the eye of that storm. And it's been a sacred, sacred place for us to be. And it's been delightful. And with this move, it just all happened in the last month, just we woke up one day and, gee, it was time to move, and here we are. We're moving, as Donna said, we've moved into a very quiet place. There's so much nature. We're in a gated community, and all the streets have a 25-mile-an-hour speed limits, and people are walking, their dogs. Everything is in slow motion compared to the Strip. And it's so quiet. So I think maybe out of that came the inspiration for this precious talk on being. So I feel like Donna and I are going to specialize in being in a stronger way than we have for the last 4 years. I love you all. Thank you so much. I am going to unmute us and invite us to embrace each other with a precious goodbye or whatever you want to say.
Love you, Bill. Love you, Donna.
Oh, thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Yummy. Oh, goodbye, everyone. I love you. Have a beautiful, beautiful month. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.